As you're being seated today, I'm going to speak here just for a few minutes, and then we're going to close out our time together with some more music. We're going to take some communion together, remembering the Lord's table on this Christmas, Sunday before Christmas. Today, I know we have our children in here with us today, and so I've tried to gear a message I thought would be obviously not too long, but as well that would be something that would be relevant for all age groups here. And I came up, you know, I just love Christmas. It's something about Christmas. I don't care how big you get, the little kid inside you always screams out during Christmas. Isn't that so true? And for a lot of guys here, that's something we don't have a problem with, because a little kid screams out in us all the time. All year round. Sometimes some of us, we have a hard time growing up, especially at Christmas. We love Christmas, and something about it sparks Christmas memories. And today, I want to talk to you about the thought, just for a few minutes, on the thought, Santa versus the Savior. Santa versus the Savior. Of course, we know Santa to be the fictional character, and I'm going to be very careful how to use my words today, because I know we have a few younger ones here today. I don't want to destroy the world, so I'm going to teach this message in a way, but I do know one is fictional and one is fact. And but for the sense of the message this morning, we're going to have a little fun with Santa and play off some of the things that Santa is known for and compare that to how our Savior is known today, which really rings out the Christmas message to you and I. You know, growing up, it was always a big deal to see Santa. You know, you see Santa, whether it was at the parade or at the mall or if you came to your school. From us, it was the first time seeing Santa was always the Christmas parade right after Thanksgiving. I remember he'd come down in the Christmas parade, and I would see him, and I was just like the movie Elf. I was like, Santa! I know him! It's me! And, you know, don't act like you've never been there. Come on now. And I'd be all excited. He'd throw me a candy cane. Of course, we'd always try to make a list out or get over to Santa and sit in his lap. That was kind of creepy, wasn't it? But anyway,
I remember sitting in Santa's lap and telling him what you want. Want some candy, little boy? I'll go,
come on, this is a little bit creepy, Santa. But anyway, we had fun telling Santa what was going on and always wishing thanks for Christmas and then hoping to see what would happen next. Santa has, but you know, one of the things that I'm not anti-Santa, okay? I'm very not anti-Santa. But what I am anti is that if we're not careful, we allow society to push so many other traditions that our children have lost the true meaning of Christmas. And it's like every generation seems to take it a little further and a little further, and we get more caught up in Easter bunnies and Santa Claus than we do the true meaning behind the actual events that we're celebrating. And so today I want us to bring us back and go back to the root of that. It's not that I'm anti-Santa, but I want to come back and really bring the truth of the Christmas message. And what a shame it would be if our kids, all they know, more about Santa, they know about our Savior. Matter of fact, I'm challenging every parent here in this room, before you do Christmas with your children this year, take time to open up the Bible and read the Christmas story. Matter of fact, if your kids are old enough to read, have your kids help you read the Christmas story. We do that at our house, and we read the Christmas story, and we talk about the first Christmas. We talk about the wise man and Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus, and we talk about the shepherds on the hills. And to hear their take on it is quite a comical thing, you know, as we all share our own opinion. But it's a great time. It's always a good time before we open up our presents. And we sit down and I let our kids know, hey, sometimes our Christmases may be a little slim. Sometimes they're better than others. Sometimes we've had good Christmases. I said, no matter what, the main thing about Christmas is not these presents. It's the presents that Jesus has brought to you and I. And we talk about the importance of that. So I challenge you to do that with your family before you open up your presents this year. Let me give you a couple of things I want to compare with Santa. First of all, Santa, he's present once a year. But Christ will never leave us. You know, we put so much stock into Santa Claus. And he only comes, kids. He only comes when? Once a year. When does he come? On Christmas Eve, except for when he's got a part-time gig down at the mall. But other than that, he only comes once a year. But yes, so much hope is put in a man in a silly red suit. He was Duck Dynasty before Field was ever popular. Had that long gray beard. And, you know, he comes once a year and all the hope is put in whether or not we'll get what we need out of him that one time a year. But the great thing about the presence of our Christ is that he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He is always present with us. Scripture says that the angel came and said, he shall be called what? Emmanuel, which means God with us. He is ever present. And this Christmas season, I want you to know, he's not the God who only shows up once a year. He's not a fictional character that we put our hope in once a year. He's actually the God who came in man form, who walked the earth and gave his life for you and I, that you and I could have a personal relationship with him all year round. When he says he will never leave us nor forsake us, does that mean God's always with us? We can leave him. We can turn our back and walk away from him, but his love will never leave us. And when we turn back toward him, he's running right to us. Scripture paints a picture of the Father relation to us, the Scripture, and it says that he was always looking. And when we just turn and begin to just to barely point our way to our home, that he comes and he runs and he meets us and he wraps his arms of grace around us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He's not Santa Claus that you could never seem to catch coming down the chimney. No matter how many iPads you put up with milk and cookies in front of them. It's like every year that presents get there, but you can never get them on film. No matter how late you stay up, kids, and on the couch waiting for the man to come down the chimney, you always fall asleep and just barely miss him. But the great thing about our Savior is that he is there every day in our life. He is there every day, always present. And you don't miss him. You won't miss him because the Word of God says if we'll just call upon his name, he would be there. Let me give you another fact about Santa. Santa's presents are based upon behavior. You better watch out. What else is that going? You better not cry. You better not. I'm telling you why. Come on. Who's coming to town? But he knows when you've been sleeping, right? He knows when you've been what? Good or bad? Now, for many of you, it's a lot more bad than it is good. And Santa's presents are based upon our behavior. We use this to bribe our kids. I think this is why Santa Claus is so popular. We use it to get our kids to behave while they're still young. Santa Claus knows. Now, if you're not good, you're not going to get everything on that list. It really works for the month of December, doesn't it? We had the best behaved kids in December. They straighten up. Ooh, Santa Claus knows. And we have convinced them that the gifts are based upon behavior. But see, this is the great thing about Christ. Christ's gifts are based on grace. What's that mean? That means that we don't earn them. We're never good enough. We're never good enough to earn the gift of Christmas. But it is freely given to all who will receive it. It's not earned. So even if you've been a bad boy, even if you've had a bad year, even if you've had a bad week, even if you've had a bad couple of years, the great news today is that his presence for you, the story of Christmas, is not based upon your performance. It's based upon his love for you and I, that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. Say, some of you here, you never had a chance to experience God's love in your life. You never had a chance to experience God's grace in your life because you've always felt like you were not good enough. I've blown it in my life. I've made so many mistakes. How could God love a person like me? And let me say today, his presence that he gives to us are not based on our performance, they're based on his grace. That we don't earn them, we don't deserve them. He freely gives it to you and I out of simply because he loves us. It's hard sometimes to accept that, isn't it? But it's the very truth of Christmas is that we don't earn the gift of God's love. We can't earn it. None of us are that good. but he freely gives it to us. I should set you free today. I should set you in a place of Christmas of knowing, you know what, man, that's an awesome place to be. Let me give you another fact about Santa. Santa gives gifts to those who are in a select group, right? Only those who behave. Only those who believe receive. Matter of fact, when my twins were younger, Hallie and Hayden, who are now 11, they would go to school. Of course, when I was raising my kids, I worked really, really hard for those presents. Shopping and paying the money. So I let them know where presents really came from at Christmas time because I didn't want a man in a beard to take credit for all the gifts I was giving. So they knew from a very young age the true story of Christmas. Let's put it that way. And they went to school and they told all their friends in preschool the true meaning of Christmas. And the teachers would call us up, can you tell your kids to make sure they don't spoil it for a few other kids that are here? We have kids that are crying their eyes out because Hallie and Hayden are telling the truth about Christmas. And they tell me, they said, we had kids that would come and tell us, well, you don't have to believe if you don't want to, but if you don't believe, you're not going to get anything. You know, it's great because Santa gives gifts to those who are in select groups of people. But Christ loved the world. What's that mean? That means he loves all people groups. Red, yellow, black, or white. We are all precious in his sight. Every nation, every tongue, every social class. It's not based on anything other than he loves you. This is great. The gift of our Christmas, that his gifts are for everyone. They're for everyone today. Pastor, Christmas is not for me. We were raised up, man. I didn't get anything for Christmas. I have a hard time receiving gifts. Let me tell you, the Christmas gift is for you. It's for you personally. It's for me. It's for everyone today. Let me give you another thing here today. I want you to know about Christmas. Santa's gifts are temporary. But Christ's gifts are eternal. When Santa gives gifts, they're great for a season, aren't they? Those gifts are great, but a month or two, 6 months down the road, those gifts, many of them are broken. Sitting in the backyard, getting a little rust. Or maybe they're broken in the bottom of a toy box. Or maybe they're hanging in the closet because we can't fit because we ate too much Christmas holiday food. Maybe it's gone out of style. Maybe it's lost its charm. Maybe it's got a cracked screen. You can't afford to fix it. Whatever it may be today, all the gifts we'll receive at Christmas when it comes to unwrapping those presents under the tree, those things are just temporary. But the greatest gift you can receive today is the gift of Christmas because this gift is eternal. Christ's gifts are eternal. And so this is why it's so important today because we spend our life worrying about the temporary. Isn't that so true? We stress about the temporary gifts we give our kids. How am I going to afford to give a great Christmas this year? How am I going to afford to get this and get that this year? And we spend all of our life stressed about temporary things that are, in the scheme of life itself, are just a breath compared to eternal gifts of eternity. And see, this is what I'm talking about, that Christ gives the gift that really matters. It's the gift that keeps on giving. It never ends. His love will never end. His grace will never end. It's about having everlasting life, everlasting peace. It's about being in his presence forever. It's what's important today. We spend all of our life stressing and hustling and bustling. I know we want to give good things to our kids. And we want to make sure, and there's nothing wrong with those things at all. I'm not against any of that. But how tragic it would be if we put so much focus upon that that we miss the eternal gift of Christmas. You spend all your life trying to get temporal gifts. And you miss out on the one gift you've always needed and will always need. the gift of a Savior. Santa's gifts, bring up the next one here. Santa's presents are basically what we want. Christ's presents are what we need. We make up that list. We tell Santa exactly what we want. But how many are glad that Jesus doesn't give us what we want? He gives us what we need. Don't look at me that way. You can look at Facebook and you can come to that prayer right there. Thank God, Lord, you took that person out of my life 20 years ago. You know that person you thought you couldn't live without? Oh, I can't live without him. I can't live without her. God, if you love me, you'll bring this person back into my life. God, if you love me, you'll make this work out. God, and we ask for things, and see, God doesn't give us what we want. He gives us what we need. And then later on in life, you're like, wow, thank you, God. I had those moments like, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Have you seen the pictures? Thank you, God, for unanswered prayers. Thank you, Lord. You knew all along what I needed. God, thank you that I didn't go to this school like I wanted to. God, thank you that I didn't go this path I thought I was going to. But God, you changed it all around. Even though I didn't understand it then, now my path is headed in a different direction. Look where I am now. Look at my family now. Look at the surroundings around now. It wasn't what I prayed. I didn't pray, God, make me a great pastor. I had other plans for my life. I had other things I wanted to do. But God knew what I needed. And God changed my outcome. And God changed the things He gave in my life. He changed the people I was around. He changed the things. And He brought me gifts that changed. He knows exactly what I need. If I'd have gotten what I asked for, I wouldn't be here today. He knows. See, we ask for a lot of things, but as a good parent, He knows what we really need. He knows that if we needed a teacher, if God knew that we needed a teacher, He would send a teacher. If He knew we needed a science, He'd have sent a great scientist. If He thought we needed a great musician, He'd have sent a great musician. But He didn't do that. He knew that our greatest need was the gift that we needed the Savior. We needed the Savior. And so He sent a Savior. Because He knew exactly what we need, that you and I could never obtain on our own. A place that He's always destined for us to be. That's back in right fellowship with the Father. And that can only come through the gift of the Savior. See, He knew exactly what we needed today. And this Christmas, He sent us the perfect gift, His Son Jesus. It's exactly what I need. And I want you to see this thing right here, the next slide. Last point I want to make. Santa's presents are found under the tree. We get up and we run under the tree to find the presents that have been left. But see, Christ's presence was what? He wasn't found under a tree. He was found nailed to a tree. That's the beauty of Christmas, that He came, not just a baby, but He walked this life and He did ministry and He trained disciples and He spoke the life-changing word. He healed the lame. He opened the blinded eyes. He raised the dead. He spoke to religious spirits. He spoke to demonic spirits. He came to establish the kingdom of God here on earth, saying that true relationship with the Father only comes through a personal relationship, not a religion. And that He willingly climbed upon that tree and spread out His arms to you and I in love. And allowed Himself to be nailed to a cross. Oh, that's the gift of Christmas. Not that the baby came. But that baby grew up and voluntarily gave His life for you and I. If we miss that, we miss Christmas. If we forget that, we've forgotten Christmas. It's not about what's under the tree. It's about who died on the tree. And it gave us life for you and I. I want you to bow your heads. Not the one looking around but me. I just want to ask you this question. Say, Pastor, I'm here today. And man, as you talk about the Christmas message, I realize today that I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. This Christmas season, I need to accept the gifts I thought I never deserved. I need to accept the gifts I thought I could never obtain on my own. And today I realize this gift has always been perfect for me. This gift is a gift I'm needing. This is the gift that's missing in my life. And today I want to accept the gift of Christmas, which is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. No one's looking but me. And I want you, we won't embarrass you one bit, but we'll give you a chance to respond to this message today. Say, Pastor, I just want to ask Jesus in my own way today to be Lord of my life. If you've never prayed that prayer, you want to pray it today. Can you just raise your hand where I can see it and say, I'm ready to accept Jesus? Thank you, guys. Thank you. Anybody else say want to join these? Thank you. One more time. If you haven't raised your hand yet, raise it right now. Say, I'm ready to accept Jesus. We're going to pray this prayer together, especially those who raised your hands today. We want you to say this prayer out loud. As Christians, we're going to say it with you. So repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. I give you everything I am today. I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer. What a great present this Christmas that you received Christ. This is what I'm going to get you to do before you leave today. We got some more to do, so don't leave yet. Before you leave today, when you stop by the back, we got a free Bible, some other information we're going to give you today that tells you what to do on your next steps, on your journey, on your new decision this Christmas. It's not just about praying the prayer. It's about what happens next in your life. You say, I want to learn to turn my life around and to begin to pursue a relationship with Jesus every day of my life. We're going to help you do that. Just stop by the back and receive that free Bible from us. There's some other material we never want to give you. Today, how many know it was that one child who came? That one child. We can find the joy of Christmas through little children, can't we? See their faces, they anticipate. Because it was the night before Christmas. And all was well. Not a creature was stirring. Except for all the little kids anticipating what was going to come next. Hit that video, guys.
Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. The tricky clock tick tocking, each painfully long minute unlocking. The tumbly jumbly can't close your eyes feeling. What will it be? When will it be? Oh, the anticipation, the watching, the wishing and waiting, to let the wiggles and giggles and goosebumps go, to find, to see, to finally know. What will it be? When will it be? Oh, the expectation, the what-ifs, the oh-my's fairly shaking, longing for this night's joy all year, that moment of hope so very near. Oh, but would they, could they, imagine a gift so great, a gift that compelled the whole world to wait? When a heavenly Father gave all mankind his Son, the one love defined. The magic of Christmas is more brilliant, you see, than a bag or a box tucked under a tree. The true love of Christmas really began when holy God became holy man.
Joseph, it's time. He's here.
Baby has arrived. She's so scared, but
she's so blessed, she lays down her fears for a home at her rest. For she knows in 1,000,000 chance could never take this moment in time. 1,000 dreams could never dream what this moment.
morning our servers are going to come. They're going to prepare the Lord's table as we begin to prepare our hearts now to receive. You've heard it in the scripture talk about the Lord's table, or some may call it communion. It simply is us learning to identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior who came. Emmanuel, God with us. Our servers are going to come. They're going to be standing at each aisle point today. I want you to exit out to your right side and come back and receive the elements and go back up the left side of your aisle. Those here in the very middle, I want you guys to split off in this group. Go to the right in this group here. Go join those over here as well and make room. So I invite you to stand on your feet today. You're going to come. You're going to receive your elements and then go back to your seat. Hold those together. Once everybody's received those, we'll pray over those together. We're taking them together. And then we'll continue to worship the Lord. Come, receive your elements this morning. the Last Supper, we see where Jesus instructed his disciples. He took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to them. And he says that when we come together, that we do this in remembrance of him. And at that time, they didn't realize what he was talking about. They didn't realize in just a few short hours that he'd be taken away by soldiers, that his body would be strapped to a pole and he'd be beaten. The flesh would be ripped off his back. The flesh would be ripped off his bones. That he would voluntarily carry that cross. With his flesh ripped open, he would carry that cross up the hill called Calvary. He would allow himself to be nailed to a cross in our place. So he says, take the bread and do this as we eat in remembrance of him. So let's partake of the bread. Father, we thank you for your body which was broken for us. We thank you, God, as we partake of the bread now, that you gave yourself willingly to die for us. You became our sacrifice. We thank you, the stripes upon your back were for our healing. That you came to heal us both emotionally and spiritually and physically. This Christmas we remember the price you paid for us. He then took the cup and he says, in the like same fashion, he said, the drink of the cup, remember that it represents his blood, which was shed for you and I. This blood, which only has the power to forgive sins. No other blood had this power to forgive sins. No other blood had the power, not the blood of sacrifices, but only the human sacrifice that was willingly gave, the Lamb of God, for you and I. Father, we remember the cup today, which symbolizes your blood. All along, you knew the plan of the Father was for you to come and be Emmanuel, God with us, that you would dwell among us, that you would teach about the upcoming kingdom of God, that you would teach that religion is not the way, but it's about a relationship with the Father. You came and dwelt among us, that we would experience love like no man had ever given. Father, today we take of your cup and we realize that the blood that was shed upon the cross was for me, was for us, that I could walk in forgiveness by receiving and accepting the blood that was shed for me on the cross of Jesus. Let us take of the cup. Now in your own way, just begin to tell them how much you love them and thank you. Come on, make it personal this Christmas. Make it a very personal prayer between you and the Lord this morning. Say, God, thank you for giving your life for me. Thank you, Father. Now, as we stand together, we're going to rejoice. We're going to sing of our victorious King. That the story didn't end on the cross. The story didn't end in the manger. It didn't end in the tomb. But he is risen. He is risen. He is Emmanuel. God with us, that will never leave us, that will never forsake us. He is our victorious King.
You are all this mighty force, heaven's angels all around. My delight is found in knowing that you wear the victor's crown. You're my help and my defender. You're my savior and my friend. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you.
Every heart beat must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome.
Hallelujah. Come on, give God praise today. Hallelujah, Lord. God, we praise you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us victory. So that means this Christmas, we're going to walk with our heads held high. We're going to look to the heavens. We're going to declare that, God, you have helped us overcome. And God, all praise, all honor belongs to you today. Lord, as we lift up our voices and we declare you are the risen King, the victorious King. Come one more time, put your hands together and bless the Lord. Now listen to me today. I want you to leave this place and I want you to have the best Merry Christmas possible today. I hope that you slow down the rest of this week as much as possible. Enjoy friends. Enjoy your family. But most of all, enjoy the true gift of the Savior. Emmanuel, God with us. God bless you.